underdressed. I should be wearing like a tux or something. I don't
know what's podcast.
On. Oh shit! Okay.
This is a no pants show, so if you're not wearing pants, you are on track.
I never said tux with pants. I said tux.
Okay. I haven't worn pants in 4 months.
Do you like movie podcasts hosted by inebriated people? That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Films podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. Nope, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with that shit. I am your host, Kai. Joining me as always, the mythical Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Hello, Kai B. Parker. How are you?
Oh, you talk to me like my mom when I'm in trouble. Let's spend a moment with you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Heather.
Okay, Heather, we're getting back to the roots of A Moment with Heather. We're going to keep it to one moment. I'm going to give you four things. You're going to rank them for me. Are you ready?
No.
Least favorite to favorite.
Okay.
All right. Running, sex, movie, video games. Go.
Oh, that's mean. Running least.
Really?
Then, And then video games. Oh, that's hard. And then, depending on the day of the week, sex or movies. They're interchangeable. And also running while having sex. That's really tricky. Okay, yeah, that's it. Sex number one, though.
You sure you're done?
No, but yes.
Okay.
This has been A Moment with Heather.
Let's meet our guest. Our guest was, I'll ask him if he knows when he was on this show last. He's a favorite of ours, and it's our first episode back with the guest, so naturally we wanted someone who makes us laugh very deeply from the guts. So we invited our good friend, DJ Valentine. Say hello, DJ.
I've been stuck here in cyberspace since the last time you guys had me on. See, what you guys listening to the MILFcast don't understand, I'm not real. I'm just a soundboard Kai and Heather put together. So I just exist in the ether. So the last time I was on, I remember it was the summer freaking Olympics. So yeah, I'm kind of happy you guys are back. Can you just break open glass and use me whenever you want, please? I don't like being in this void, I think it is.
You're like Max Headroom.
Yes.
Well, it's good to have you. I have you. The episode I have with you posted on September 24th, 2017.
And was that Olympics? Maybe I was wrong. I remember the Olympics clearly, but I don't know. Maybe it was after that. It's all a blur.
And you might be thinking, if we like him so much, why didn't we have him on for 3 years? Well, it's because we were on hiatus for almost two of those. So that's pretty much why. It's
hiatus. Restraining order, tomato, tomato. It's all good.
General lack of interest from the public, whatever it may be. Anyway, real quick, why don't you tell everybody all, because you do a bunch of stuff online, so why don't you tell everybody where they can find you online? Of course, on Twitter you're at trying to be DJV, which we all are.
Yes, me. Yes.
But tell them all the other stuff.
I'm one of the co-hosts and producer of the Simplistic Reviews podcast, which you can find on Simplistic.reviews or simplisticreviews.net, whichever one, they take you to the same place. I also sometimes hop in on the MISCast live stream every Tuesday for Movie Talk Madness. Sometimes I pop up on GeekCast. Sometimes I pop up. Again, I'm just a program that people just download into their computers and push a button, and I just start talking. But yeah, just check out simplisticreviews.net or simplisticreviews. We've upgraded that thing, so it's pretty good. We get the show, and we do a whole bunch of crazy stuff on there.
You are to podcast what meow, 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 is the morning radio.
Right. I'm the Wilhelm scream of podcast. Okay? Just throw me in there.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, we're going back to our standard format. We're going to do the Series 7 today. We're going to play the game. Before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately? What you've been watching? What have you seen lately?
DJ, why don't you kick us off? Is there a television show of films? I'm allowing TV now because...
Oh, thank God.
Because film is like Coke, man. It's hard to... You got to know somebody. You know? You got to know some people. So
you want some of this film? You want some of this movie over here?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, my God. What do you got? I don't even care if... I don't care who's in it. I'll watch it.
I got this trench coat, brother.
Oh, that's good. Why don't you tell us something you've been watching recently?
Let me see. I've been filling in a lot of the blind spots during this time, a lot of Westerns, a lot of John Wayne, some sci-fi shows like The Expanse. But there's one film I popped on because I had a I had heard about it. And me being an Anglophile was interested in it and was greatly rewarded. And that was the British crime movie, The Long Good Friday. I think Guy Ritchie made a spiritual remake with the gentleman I guess it was last year. It feels like it was like yesterday. But the Long Good Friday is this cool, gritty British crime thing. Stars Bob Hoskins of Mario Brothers fame and Dame Helen Mirren. And the on-screen debut of some guy named Pierce Brosnan, his first movie. I've never heard of him before.
Oh, God.
And,
the first appearance. How good-looking is he?
He has one line of dialogue, and he is stunning.
I can imagine.
The chest hair, full display. Oh, that's Pierce. I didn't see his face first. I saw the chest hair. I was like, that's Pierce Brosnan. I know that chest hair anywhere.
I've been running my fingers through that for years.
But no, it's a really good, cool gangster, 70s gangster film, and a lot of murder, a lot of explosions, a lot of kidnapping. But like the chemistry between Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren, it's excellent. And I would recommend that if you're into like those gritty 70s crime stuff.
Okay, cool. Do you remember what his one line was?
Oh, God. I think he says no. It was like a response to somebody asking him a question.
Line is one word. He's like,
he's an IRA hitman who kills a guy in a bathhouse. So I think the bathhouse guy was like trying to come on to him, and he's like, no. And then he just kills him.
That's funny.
He's in the movie a lot. He just only speaks once.
I highly recommend any movie where Pierce Brosnan is a hitman.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can watch any James Bond movie. That's essentially what James Bond is.
He's like Ethan Hunt, only he doesn't fuck up every time.
And
loses his job. Just that one time with Timothy Dalton. Okay, so I guess I'll go right now. I've been watching currently. This is interesting. There's always shows coming out, and you're like, I want to watch that. That looks really good. That's got a great cast, blah, blah, blah. And then there's so many things available to us that you never get around to seeing it. So now in COVID, I've actually had a chance to either discover things or go back and watch them. I mentioned a few with Heather last week. But currently watching, I want to recommend this show called Yellowstone.
Yeah, I'm watching it too.
Okay,
so good.
So good. Stars Kevin Costner. It's on the Paramount Network. Nobody knew that was a thing.
Nope.
So it's like he owns this large ranch in, is it Montana or Wyoming? I can't even, I always miss
Montana.
Montana, I believe too. And it's really good. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. Cole Hauser's in it, and it's written by, the thing that drew me to it besides Kevin Costner was it's written by the actor who used to be on Sons of Anarchy and went on to write a couple good films. He wrote, I believe, Wind River, and what was the other one?
Oh, River.
Hell or High Water.
Hell or High Water, yeah. Great writer, and he's recognizable. If you look him up on IMDb, you'll know who he is. And just real quick, I want to mention, I was going through Netflix, and I saw this little mini-series that they had gotten that was starred Jeff Daniels called Godless.
I saw it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's about 6 episodes. It's this little town. Jeff Daniels is the bad guy with the posse coming to bring the whole fucking town down. All the men in this town have pretty much died from a mineshaft that went down. It's all women, and it's women standing up and taking their town back from a very scary dude. So highly recommend it. Really like it, especially for those two actors, for those two things.
Jack O'Connell's like the lead, I think, in that one. The guy from 71 and the British guy who's now doing a Western accent, Jack O'Connell.
Okay. 71 was good. I saw that, too.
Mm.
A lot of IRA themes here. Okay. Heather, what have you seen lately?
This week I've been pretty much laid up. I had a really severe allergic reaction, so I've been wrapped up in ace bandages and not moving too much. So I finally decided to sit down and watch The Handmaid's Tales, even though I had little to zero
interest.
The
Handmaid's Tales? There's like multiple, it's like Creepshow,
it's a series, like an anthology of
Handmaids.
Series. Yeah, it's on Hulu, and I've been...
Oh, The Handmaid's Tale!
Yeah, The Handmaid's Tale.
Not the plural, Handmaid's Tales.
Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah, that's a good show.
I kept calling it The Handmaiden for a while, too, but that's not it either. That's a good movie, though. Mm. So I finally got around to watching it, which I prefer to after there's a ton of buzz about a show like this anyway, because I tend to be swayed in one direction or the other. And it's just fucked up.
It is seriously fucked up. I actually avoided watching it for so long because I thought it was a period piece. Turns out it takes place in the future, and it's science fiction.
And it's a little too close to the possibility of the future that could happen. than I'd like to think at this point. It is on so many levels creepy. It is really, really good. And I am not a huge fan of Elizabeth Moss. I think she's a very, very talented actress, but she tends to drive me fucking nuts.
No, she's
and the whole show is just all these her giving mean mug faces and like being really, I mean, fairly psychotic. But it's just so intense. I'm exhausted. Well, I've watched almost all of it this week, and I'm just exhausted from it.
The situation, she does mug. She can mug. That girl can mug.
She can mug.
She's been great in stuff I've been seeing her recently. She's great in the show. And honestly, you'd be mugging a lot if you're in that situation too. We've been adamant about this, Heather. We are very anti-rape. Not that anyone should be pro-rape.
Yeah, nobody should be yay rape.
Yeah. But we've been very anti.
I thought I would never hear in my entire life.
No, I'm at a point, you know, I've got a daughter now that's almost 18 years old, and just girls in general, I've always been closer with girls in my life than guys. Rape bothers the shit out of me, and it's getting to a point now as I get older. Like, I used to be able to put up with it to watch films like Irresistible, or did I say the right word?
Irreversible.
Irreversible, thank you. Irreversible or something like that, because the overall story or filmmaking was great. But now I'm at a point when the film's got rape, I kind of just don't want to watch it at all.
Right, right.
So,
well, I think that's the intention, too, is that discomfort. But the problem is, and it happens with violence and other things in films and shows, too, is after a while, do you get desensitized to the idea of it if you see it too often? So if it isn't exploited and it's used appropriately with its intention, then it should make you uncomfortable. It should make you feel that way. That should be the intent of it. And that's exactly what it does here.
Yeah.
Even though the whole idea of it in this setting is that it's supposed to be, they're trying to make people it normalized. And some people have normalized it while others are clearly rejecting it. But it's extremely, extremely interesting. It's very good.
For anybody that doesn't know, just so you know, the show is basically, all women have basically become sterile and can't give birth anymore. There's a handful that can, and they are basically given to the rich in this new America that's run by this basically like a church government to provide children to the wealthy, essentially, and they're made like handmaids and kept prisoner. And it's pretty
fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. And then they take the baby, and then they send the handmaid to the next family so she can serve them.
I'm actually interested. There's a movie, which I don't know how you tell. It was based on a book. I don't know how you tell the story after watching the show in a movie, but there is a Handmaid's Tale movie from like the 80s or 90s, and I'm kind of curious to go back and watch it.
Wow, I didn't even know that. My sister warned me about this show right when it came out. She's like, DJ, you wouldn't like this. I'm like, why? I was like, you know how you like Requiem for a Dream, but you never watch it again?
Yep.
Like, it's like that. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. I still find Requiem way harder to ever go back to.
I've only seen it twice, and I think I know everything about it because it's scarred in my brain. Yeah. I don't think it's one of those things where I want to pop back on. And this is nothing against Handmaid's Tale. I think Elizabeth Moss is great, Invisible Man.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where I was like, this is not for me. I root for all of them. I hope they all win every Emmy ever, but that's not for me.
All right. Well, there you guys have it. We recommend it. It's not for DJV, but that's okay.
No.
So that brings us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to do the Series 7. Let's do that now.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Series 7, so shut the fuck up.
Okay, DJ. This is the fun part. We have 7 questions. I apologize. Heather's written all of them. You can answer these any way you want. You want to be funny with it. You want to be serious. You want to go on a tangent. Do what you got to do. It's completely up to you.
Right, right, right.
And I don't have them in front of me. What I pulled up was my answers, and I don't have the questions. Isn't that classic Kai?
Well, Baxi's my spirit animal, so I trust her. She knows how to get into my psyche. So we can.
You want to know what's great? When I read these, I didn't even know that I wrote most of them.
See?
I thought half of them were Kai's.
which totally means that nothing to her. Do you have them in front of you, Heather? If you could read the first one, that would help me out.
I can read the first one.
Okay.
With no movies coming out, what movie or show have you gone back and discovered for the first time?
Like I said, first time would be, mentioned earlier, John Wayne stuff. The John Wayne stuff, I was explaining it to somebody, like my younger sister. She's like, what's this big deal with John Wayne? And this is how young she is. And I'm like, well, John Wayne's kind of like, he was like the Rock back in the day where like, he's not a really good actor, but he's like everybody loved him and they always put him as the lead. So I was like, you know what, let me start watching some old John Wayne things. I love Westerns, but it was a big, blind spot. So I watched The Man Who Shot Liberty Vance, and that's an excellent movie. And that's John Wayne's in it, but he's not the he's in it, but it's more about Jimmy Stewart. And yeah, I think that one it caught me off guard how good it is. There's a whole bunch of other John Wayne movies that are horrible, but that one's pretty good.
I had the same blind spot too, though. I don't I didn't start really frequenting much in the Western genre at all until the last, I'd say, 5 years or so, and I'm starting to kind of slowly delve into them. And some of them are great, and some of them are not so much.
I love Westerns. The problem, I can't do Wayne for whatever reason, and I always have heard The Searchers is the greatest movies of all time, the greatest Western of all time. If I was going to watch one, it'd probably be that one, but I still just can't get in the mood to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, it's good. There's a couple. I've watched maybe like 8 John Wayne movies, but it's like recently, and it's like every third one is like, oh, that was not bad. But then there's a couple in there like McClintock, and you're like, what is this movie?
Yeah,
what is
this? Okay, well, I'll jump in, and I kind of screwed up. So I had my answers for the Series 7 here next to my answers for what we've been watching, and I just realized how much crossover these questions have, so I'm just going to do like a weird answer to this one, which is just answer what I've been watching, essentially. So I discovered a neat little indie the other night. If you like slow burn indies that kind of pay off in the end, I don't like the last scene. I don't like love how it ended, but I do really like the film overall. It's called Hippopotamus. And
I never heard of this.
It's dated 2020, but when I was going back and looking into it, it's either 2017 or 2018, so I don't know if it got held. I don't want to ruin anything, just... girl wakes up in a room, her knees, tendons in her knees have been cut, so she can't walk, and a guy says, you're going to stay here until you fall in love with me. And she's in like a big concrete room.
Well, sounds like Boxing Helena. The movie came out long, maybe like the 80s, 90s, but she was in a coffin or something like that.
I will say that the premise that I've just given you is what interested me, but it is also very misleading.
Oh, so, I'm writing this down. We're writing this movie down. I got to watch this.
And another one I just want to throw out real quick. There was this movie that was – I was just looking for Amazon Prime, which has a bunch of junk, and seeing like anything that had good like star ratings from the people that watch it. And I stumbled across this movie called I See You. And it's got Helen Hunt in it. And it's only like a couple years old. And it is way better than it's supposed to be. It looks like a throwaway Prime movie or throwaway Netflix movie. And I really like it. It's not the best movie I've ever seen. It's got twists in it. It taught me about something that exists that I didn't know existed, and we could talk about that in the future so that people now can go out and watch it and it not be ruined for them, Heather. But I really want to recommend those two movies. Those are kind of what I've been diving in. Those are my deep dives. I guess that applies to this question there. So what about you, Heather?
I have never completed Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Oh, me neither. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm like, it's hard.
It's understandable. It's long.
And I wanted to, a part of what stopped me from getting into it too was for a while access and then actually having the ability to sit down and just watch it. And then at some point I said, F it. My brother got Disney Plus and that was the first thing I did. I said, I'm going to watch all these and I'm going to watch Rebels.
Your brother got it, so therefore you have it?
Yeah, I stole his Darth Maul character too. So it right now has a picture of him as a stormtrooper and it says, fuck you, and then Darth Maul header. So it says, fuck you, header on his Disney.
That's great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm going to take a picture of it next time I bring it up and send it to you guys. But
send it to me today, and I'll make it the picture for this episode.
Oh, that's
please,
great.
Please do.
Perfect. So I, you know, it's Star Wars, and also I have all this build-up to it, but I can't leave this also blind spot in my Star Wars universe. I read the books, I watch the movies, everything. So... oh God, it was wonderful, Kai. You have to go through them both. I cried at the end of Clone Wars. Yeah. I bloody cried. There's a line, and I won't say it now, but it's...
yeah, Joan, I'm on season 2.
It's after season 3 is when it really starts to hit its stride. Dave Filoni is a fucking genius.
He's a genius.
He's the biggest Star Wars fan on the planet. That's it.
Yeah, and he's next to Lucas. He's the encyclopedia. The problem was when Disney announced that the animated stuff was canon, and then they started working it into the films, because there's animated voices at the end of Rise of Skywalker. There's ships from the animated shows in that.
The ghost is in there, yeah.
The ghost is in there. I watched Rebels, which was fucking pulling teeth to get through for a season, and by the end of it was one of my favorite shows I've ever seen, and about damn near cried at one point.
If you watch the Phantom Menace and you were like, man, I really wish they gave me more Darth Maul, the Clone Wars and Rebels is what gives Darth Maul all this character. his arc is in those animated series. So if you like Darth Maul, it's your wheelhouse.
And
absolutely.
Odd part, for those of you who don't know, it takes place after The Phantom Menace.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Which probably makes no sense, but.
But it does. And then that's the beauty of it too, is there's so much that you can see that, I mean, I think James Cameron and his Avatar universe could probably benefit from this too, though, where there's so much that you could see was in his head and thought would just kind of get to the audience through the film and didn't, the implication or whatever. There's just so much background here that fills so many of the holes. And I just got through reading the newest Thrawn trilogy over the last year too, and then all of these little bits that were between Thrawn and Anakin at one point started to make sense because they were parts from Rebels, which I was unaware of, and now all of these little bits and pieces are connected, and I can't believe how much information is there. I mean, Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones are incredible, but to keep all of these plot lines, storylines, characters, and all of these little, it's just beyond impressive, and it just reignited my affection and love for Star Wars even more, if possible. So I can't recommend it anymore. It's just absolutely wonderful.
Let's roll this into the next question, because it applies here. A quick question. Thrawn, is he the one of the ghost team?
No, he's the blue-faced Moff.
Grand Admiral Thrawn. That's he's right. The baddest motherfucker in the universe.
I get bad with the names sometimes. Sorry.
He's like Sherlock Holmes, and Sherlock Holmes worked for the Empire. He's very meticulous and knows how to break you down with just his intellect. So, yeah.
Well, let's roll this into question number two. Star Wars or Mando is basically the question. Do you like these one-offs like Rogue One and Han Solo? Do you like – Solo's a great name for a one-off if you think about it. Do you like the trilogies, or do you like what they're doing with Mando, with these series now? Because part of the reason I'm trying to catch up in Clone Wars is because Season 2 is supposed to feature Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano in some capacity. So what about you, DJ? What do you prefer?
Well, after the rolling dumpster fire that was the Last Jedi and the inevitable asteroid strike disaster that was Rise of Skywalker, I'm clinging to Star Wars life support, and the only thing keeping me on this plane of existence, it has been The Mandalorian in the final season of Clone Wars. The common denominator for those two things, Dave effing Filoni. He's the one. Pablo Hidalgo might be the book guy who knows everything, but Dave Filoni is the guy who makes the movies and the shows. He takes crap and he makes quiche with it. I don't understand how he did, because he took the prequels and now the Clone Wars is like so interesting, and you're on season two. When I first started watching the Clone Wars, I hated Ahsoka, and now she's like my favorite, maybe top three favorite Star Wars character, and that's Dave Filoni doing that. So yeah,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I interrupted you, please.
I don't know, but The Mandalorian I thought was really good, but I think what Heather was talking about, the final season of Clone Wars, I'm not going to spoil anything, Kai, don't worry about it, but it is so well done, the last four episodes, it could have been, if they would have released that instead of Rise of Skywalker, the temperature or the fandom would be more united today, I think, because it's so perfectly well done. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it's so well done, and I think Dave Filoni and Favreau, who helps do The Mandalorian, I don't want to say they should be in charge, but they should be having more of an impact on these feature films.
Well, have you heard the rumors going around right now that Kennedy is basically on the brink of getting ousted at starting her own production company, and that Favreau is being championed to take over the Star Wars universe, and that there's talks that they want to use some of the things that took place in the animated shows to put this stuff that happened in this recent trilogy kind of into a different universe within
the universe?
I've heard, because
There's a Rebels episode, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a Rebel episode that does stuff with time travel and stuff like that. So I've heard this rumor. I don't think they'll do that, because just by the look of it, through the optics of, hey, we're going to erase this whole thing this female CEO did, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they'll maybe ignore it. I think they're probably going to do more than I'm going to erase this never happened. Because, again, Star Wars, the problem with it right now is they keep making it so small when it's not. It's huge. You don't have to, you can make an entire story, as Dave Filoni has proven, about the Clone Wars. Or you can go 100 years in the beforehand without any Skywalkers and still make a compelling story with the elements of the stuff that you love, and it'd still be great. Ahsoka Tano is the proof that you do not need a Skywalker to make a very, very interesting character.
And as is Mando, we're not even watching Boba. We're watching random fucking Mandalorian, which, by the way, Mando
Boba wasn't actually a Mandalorian either. He just stole that shit.
Yeah, there was Mando. If you look at the
true, which is interesting. Also, if you want to like see how cool Mandalorians are, I recommend Rebels as well, and I'm sure it probably comes into play in
Clone Wars. Big time in Clone Wars, huge.
So personally, I would argue, while I love the Star Wars films, there's really no good trilogy. Like Return of the Jedi, I have special feelings for it, but it's the one that kind of stands out with the Ewoks and everything. I don't have a problem with it, but you could say none of the trilogies have been done perfectly. I think Rogue One is a perfect example of the perfect Star Wars film, which again ties into what DJ said, which is you can have these fleshed out characters that even tie into the Star Wars universe of the Skywalkers that take place outside of it that still have like interesting story, compelling stories to tell. Ultimately, I think I lean towards the series, although the thing I don't like is something like Clone Wars, which has like 22 episodes in a season, and you have something like Mandalorian, which is great. The problem is Mando works because it's almost like Indiana Jones. It's a serial. Right. You know, it's like each one is a different, even though there's a timeline there with Baby Yoda and everything, you're really getting a different kind of episode each, it's maybe even a little like Firefly.
Yeah, yes. I like that the ship looks like the Firefly anyway.
That's funny.
Yes, it does. And hey, when Mando walks, it's a space western. The sound of spurs when he walks, that's what you hear. You hear spurs.
What about you, Heather?
Listen next time you're watching it.
Yeah, totally.
I feel pretty much the same way. I feel like, especially this last trilogy, there's so many expectations that people have for the whole Skywalker and Vader and everything, and it's just this whole idea of that the Star Wars universe is the Skywalkers, and that's what it has been for three bloody movies. Right. And it's not that I don't enjoy that, and I don't take the surface value entertainment from it. I do, but Rogue One is a movie that gets better every single time I watch it. And again, it doesn't even have to necessarily be a Star Wars movie. It could just be a heist film, for frick's sake.
Yeah. Which is essentially what Rogue One was.
Yes, right. Yes. And it was successful in that way. And Solo movie was the only one that I did, only Star Wars movie that has been released since I was born that I didn't see in the theater. And I waited a while to watch it, and I don't know why I got so much crap. I think it's actually pretty enjoyable as a standalone film.
There's good parts. I think everybody was just wanting young Harrison Ford, and we didn't get the coolness we wanted out of it.
And that's the problem when you're doing these characters. You can't quite replace them, and then there's so much nostalgia tied into it. And then just close the door on the Skywalker saga as much as possible. Use allusions to it and references, but... I think there is a necessity of moving on from it, as much as I love it. Like, I still want Mara Jade in my Star Wars series.
here's the thing, I think Obi-Wan, the show, is going to be the telling one, because you're probably going to have a more straightforward show with a straightforward line of storytelling. Because, like, something like Rogue One, the heist film, would have worked over an episodic show. I think Obi-Wan will be telling, and the interesting thing is, the guy that played him so well, because the best thing about the prequels is probably how well Ewan McGregor played Alec Guinness, right? So, but he's now grown into kind of that middle age between when he played him young and then when he's old, so it's actually perfect timing for him to go back and play that character. So we have everything set up. If the story's good, this might be the most telling one to tell us how it went.
A great director, too. Deborah Chow is supposed to be right now. She's helming that series, and Deborah Chow did a lot of episodes of The Mandalorian, probably a lot of the episodes that people liked.
Yeah.
So I have my fingers crossed on that one, and we're talking about Rogue One. All the movies that I think that just came out, that one I think is going to start aging the best, because it like we're saying, it's touching the Skywalker stuff, but it's not about the Skywalker stuff. It's alluding to it, or the Vader shows up, but it's not like about Vader. And I think those are the one. That's why I'm saying these stories don't have to be Skywalker centric. Skywalker's story to me ended in Return of the Jedi. And that was a perfect ending for him. He you know, brought his father back. We don't need to touch that anymore. Let them ride off into the sunset and touch on the 8 billion other Star Wars characters that are just as interesting as the Skywalker.
I can understand that. Look, I got to move on. But I can understand the desire to go back and tell the story of Anakin. And I understand. I remember seeing the poster of young Anakin walking in on the movie poster, and it's shadows of Vader.
Right.
That shit was exciting. Of course, you know, the execution is what it is, you know? Sorry, I got to continue recording here. So I understand that, but I kind of agree with you. And I've said Rogue One is my favorite Star Wars movie since it came out.
Mm. Yeah.
So let's totally change the subject with question number three, because Heather wrote these. DJ.
Yeah.
What is your favorite celebrity Twitter follow during the pandemic?
I don't want to get – I'm not going to be too political here, but there was a comedian named Sarah Cooper, at Sarah CPR, and she takes sound bites from the current president and lip syncs to them. me describing this sounds boring, but the way she does it is so funny.
Yeah,
it always brightens up my timeline. I mean, I political leanings aside, you could just the way she and she's not changing any of his words. She's just lip syncing what he says, and then she does visuals to accentuate that. But it's so funny every time I see her put a video on. I think she has a special coming out on, I think it's CBS or NBC or something like that, maybe Netflix, I can't remember. But she got it pretty much based on these tweets, or I think she did it on TikTok, and a lot of other comedians like Patton Oswalt was like, this woman needs a show. So she's my favorite celebrity follow right now.
That's funny because I think she was at the DNC too, right? She was
she did the same thing at the DNC.
it's the way her facial expressions when she says certain words, and so she's good. Not mocking Trump. She's just saying his words and her using her like expressions, and then she'll often cut to another angle of herself being the reporter that asks questions.
Like reacting to it. Yeah,
yeah, and that's like usually where the humor is.
Usually, the thing that always makes me laugh is when she does his speeches by the helicopter and she's using the hair dryer to blow her hair. I don't know why it makes me laugh every time, but it's so good.
Yeah, I haven't seen a bad one yet. So it's funny, you mentioned Patton Oswalt. I'm going to default the answer to this question to my phone. The only person I get tweet notifications for is Patton Oswalt, and I don't know why because I didn't set that up.
So following you.
Yeah, he's it's funny, he's actually how I found out about her, because honestly Twitter is in general used to be a cesspool. It's the least like I use that the least of all my social media. I like DJ, there's a couple film people, Heather, I now have an art friend that I met doing cons that only uses Twitter, so I use it for that, and then Patton, Sarah Silverman, just like a hand. Oh, the greatest one, this is what I'll recommend to everybody if you don't, Rex Chapman. Do you guys follow Rex Chapman?
Oh, the that's yeah. He's funny.
Okay, so he goes out and finds the most amazing videos on the internet, and that's all he posts. And they're try to find a bad one. So follow Rex Chapman. 1990s, he was the white guy on the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, and the Washington Bullets at the time. Yeah. Rex Chapman's his Twitter feed is pretty funny. I think I might be seeing his stuff because I'm following you, and you like it. It pops up on my feed, and I'm like, oh. There's another Rex Chapman video.
I've shared a couple, too, because some are really funny, some are really heartwarming, and some are like, how did they do that? Like, a girl will, like, run and then run across, like, 50 people on their shoulders and heads and then jump down and not fall. Shit like that, it's crazy. what about you, Heather? Who's your follow?
I don't think I've logged into my Twitter in, like, a year. So I'm gonna go.
So you literally can't answer because we said during the quarantine?
Specifically Twitter, but I'll because I probably wrote the question, I can switch to Instagram, which I spend most of my time actually browsing anything on Instagram because it's just so much more healthy and happy there.
Yeah.
And that's also why I don't follow a lot of celebrities. I mostly follow runners and athletes and then kittens. That's Instagram. It's my
that makes so much
place.
Sense.
I love it.
So Instagram is my little happy spot. But I follow a few celebrities that I actually kind of like. And one of them is Sarah Michelle Gellar. She has always seemed like a relatively normal person for a celebrity. And Freddie Prinze, too. I like him a lot. He's great as a voice actor. And he does, like, tons of gaming and nerd stuff.
Does a voice in Rebels.
Oh, yes, she does a voice in Rebels as well.
She does. So I enjoy them anyway, but the whole quarantine thing, she was doing these, like, they were totally like cutesy pie, so far from my general taste, corn tips every day. And she just looks adorable and pretty and perfect all the time. But I actually looked forward to them because the world was so bleak and dark that it was just nice to see someone going, hey, this sucks, but I'm going to do the best I can here. And I'm going to be here for my fans and talk to you as much as I can because I know you're all struggling. Like a normal person and not getting on any kind of platform to sit there and say this, this, and this. It's just, it was a breath of fresh air. So I've I've been enjoying it.
And my wife and I are always like, always comment, we're like so happy when you see Hollywood couples that stay together that long and clearly are like happy together and have a happy family and haven't been jaded, especially when they're, I mean, Freddie Prinze Jr. was like, you know, teen beat fucking shit at one point. And then you had Sarah Michelle with fucking Buffy, the, like the hottest thing on the planet there for a minute. Right. So it's nice to see them growing old together and looking like they're still happy together. It gives like
I like the Kurt Russell Goldie Hawn relationship is still going strong.
Me too. Like, oh, thank God. They're thank still God my still favorite. They're still my favorite. They give me hope.
Well, and I think about that stuff because like Goldie Hawn was like one of the prettiest women in Hollywood at one point, and she was the big star. Kurt Russell was always a big star, but has recently several times it feels like had a big resurgence. And so like at any point during that time, either one could have got a big ego and walked away, and somehow they've maintained this family and still seem to really care for each other. And that kind of that's real Hollywood shit. That makes me happy.
Me too. Yay!
So, DJ.
Yes.
Question number four. Tell us your favorite quarantine virus movie or the plot of the one you want to make.
Most people throw out like 12 Monkeys or Contagion or 28 Days Later. But if you permit me, I'd like to cheat because there's a when I hear this question a lot of times. And when I heard it here, my brain always goes to a TV show. And it's season 4, episode 6 of the 2004 animated series, The Batman.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I remember it vividly. It's called Strange World. Hugo Strange releases a toxin in Gotham that turns people into zombies, and Batman has to find a cure, but spoiler alert for a show you probably never watch, because the episode is mostly through Batman's POV, you don't realize until the very end that the zombies that Batman has been fighting, Gordon, Robin, Batgirl, Alfred, weren't zombies at all. Batman himself was dosed with a toxin that made him see everyone as zombies. So the whole show has a completely different perspective where you're like, so the zombies that Batman has been beating the crap out of, they were just actually his friends trying to stop him from kicking their ass.
Yeah, I think I've either seen that or read a comic that is very similar.
It's such a different, it was one of the most different takes on the zombie virus outbreak. And I was like, oh, because they deal with so well where you might miss where he gets dosed. And you're like, oh, it makes you watch the episode again. Like, these people, because they're always, like, reaching out for him, like, zombies, like, But they're just trying to help him because he's freaking out. So, yeah. That's my favorite one.
That's pretty good.
I actually, I was going to talk about one I wanted to see made. I actually worked on writing one back when I was doing screenplays and shit, which I don't want to talk about that now. Okay. I changed my mind based on your pick. So, there was a show that NBC did for one season, and I still listen to, the theme song was a song done by System of a Down.
Okay.
Or maybe it was just, what's the lead singer's name? Sergey? What's his name?
I can't remember.
I can't either. but the show was called Fear Itself, and it was like a 10, 12 episode anthology, different horror, half hour horror stories.
Okay.
Which I've loved since kid. I'm actually currently going back and rewatching all the Tales from the Crypts.
Oh, you're my co-host, Matthew does that all the time. Oh, he watches every, I think he has them all on Blu-ray or something.
Dude,
or DVD or something.
You're like watching and you're like, Brad Pitt's in this? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Tom Hanks starred and directed in this? What the
Everybody
fuck?
Was on that damn show. Everybody.
Because if you look, it's like Spielberg and Zemeckis are like the fucking producers of the show. So like, of course. Anyway, I was thinking of that show because they do, when you said that, they do one episode that is a POV story about a girl in a zombie apocalypse, and it turns out she's the zombie the whole time. Same fucking premise.
Wow. Find out the name of that episode. I want to watch it. I want to see that episode. Because I just thought that was such a... When I saw the Batman, maybe they aped it from that, but I just
or
never...
vice versa.
Yeah, or either way. But I'm not sure... When was Tales... This is 2004 Batman, so I'm not sure maybe which came first. But,
this was a show called Fear Itself on NBC.
Yeah, let me see that. I want to see that episode.
It was a 2008 show. I'm looking it up. It was canceled March 13, 2009. And Heather, why don't you...
Batman beat it.
Yeah, totally. Why don't you tell us yours while I look for that?
Okay. Actually, this whole entire question came from the premise of science fiction shows. You know, they have the... they have your stagnant episodes that they do in every science fiction show. You have a doppelganger show. You have some time continuum episode. You have the mental institution where you're not sure if you're in the mental institution or it's reality. These are common things that show up on almost every science fiction show that runs longer than two or three seasons. Also is a pandemic or plague. Almost all of them follow through with it. And lately, it's obviously become more apparent to me that this happens. So I started thinking about the movies that do that really well, too. And the first one that pops into my head is Doomsday. and more people should fucking watch it. Because it's
the movie.
As far as actual, you know, quarantine movie, it is a fucking quarantine movie. But it's also just badass entertaining. It's Neil Marshall just going nuts and having no restrictions, and Rhona Mitra is just disgustingly amazing in it.
Yeah.
And this is one I know that a lot of people haven't heard of, so I always try to encourage people to watch it. That one and I'd say Pontypool are my two favorite.
I had a thing for Rhona Mitra after Boston Legal, so I did skim. Rhona Mitra is I don't want to get canceled, but I'm gonna say she's not an ugly person.
her and Kate Beckinsale, my brother and I, are always fighting over which one we like more because it goes back and forth. But
I've had a coin.
Yep, they're both. And Rhona Mitra was also on a few episodes of Stargate Universe too, a very underrated show that was quite good. With Robert Carlyle. Oh my God, it was worth watching just for Robert Carlyle.
Both of them were in Underworld. Rhona Mitra was in an Underworld prequel or something. And Kate Beckinsale
was the previous, like, her descendant, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Just epic hotness. I started watching Boston Legal just because she was on it.
She kind of reminds me of Mara Tierney for some reason. I don't know why I think they
It's the eyes.
It's the
eyes. And yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. I can't find it right now, DJ. I'll find it and get it to you.
No, take your time. Okay. I'm going to watch it, though, when you find it.
The odd part,
he's
though,
just going to be in the void of the internet while
I'll be waiting here on the internet. I got all the time in the world.
However, Elizabeth Moss was in episode 4 of Fear Itself, so there you go. We'll bring it back around with that.
I bet she's given mug face.
Heather, let's start with you for this one, even though you've been talking for a while now. Name a movie character you would back for the 2020 election.
I have the correct answer here. It's okay. Ian Malcolm. End of story.
Oh, yes. You want Ian Malcolm? You want me to run the country? I like the presidency. I like
it. I
guess you can maybe give me the launch codes. I won't push the button. But you know, life does find a way. Yeah.
Do you have a new one you're working on right now? What was the one you were working on one last time you were here, and you had it down pretty good, and I just can't remember.
It was The Punisher. It's John Bernthal's The Punisher, but that show got canceled. So right now I'm working on, I did Skeletor, 1983 Skeletor for an upcoming episode. You always got to find a word to start off with for me anyway, because I'm horrible at this, so I just go, Randor! He-Man! You know, you gotta stay up in the nose, and you know, Heather Baxendale, and that guy, you want to rule Eternia with me, Skeletor? I don't think so. You know, it's kind of up there.
Oh, yeah, that's great!
There's a little John Lovitz in there.
Yeah, and then you gotta go, I'm doing Megatron and Beastman and Starscream for the upcoming episode. So I'm doing like 15 different voices. Like Beastman is kind of like this and kind of talks like he always has food in his mouth. And then, you know, Starscream is very high-pitched like that, but you kind of put some little stuff in there. And Megatron's always like that. So yeah, he just throw a whole bunch in there.
That's so fucking great. I love
him. And I think I did joke. We did a Batman Begins sketch where I'm playing Mark Hamill Joker for the after credit sequence, but that's not until November. But yeah, I had to do that in my car at 5 a.m. this morning, so I'm kind of running on some sleep.
All right, well, why don't you, did I already ask you who you would back? Well, no. You
me?
Just, no, you went right off of Heather's thing. Who would you back for president?
Oh, I have the right answer here.
I'll be the judge of that. This used to be called Kai's Always Right, so.
I'm going with Jean-Luc Picard, even though his character is French and the actor who plays him is British. Who cares? I want some empathy. I want some diplomacy running the country. I miss logic and reason. And no, not the Picard TV show version of Picard. I want the movie, the First Contact. No further. That I want that Picard. I want the diplomat. I want that guy running the country. Though again, he is French, but why the hell not?
You'd have to do to run is just put a video of everything Trump says on one side of the screen and the other screen him doing facepalm.
Baseball.
That's it. Just like
that would be his. Jesus. Yeah, that would be his entire running plan right there. That's all he would do.
It
would
cost
barely any money at all. It'd be great.
I'm gonna go with the title character from the film Dave.
Oh, you know, I thought about that. Fine. That's a good one.
The correct answer.
That was a good one.
You remember when he went in there and he said, "This is the deficit."
He balances the budget in like a day.
Yeah, with his buddy. Yeah. Which I'm not even sure you're allowed to bring them in to do that.
I don't even think he can do that. I let it go, but I think he can't do that, really.
Anyway, so like I said, I'm right. Like, we all have the right answer.
No, we all good. Do. I can't fight that one.
Except for him.
Yeah. I'm in the future, anyway.
All right. So, next question, number six. Describe your sex life with a movie title, DJ.
During COVID times, dangerous liaisons. Okay, so I'm single, but I don't know if you've noticed, there's not a lot of places to mingle. So yeah, maybe It Follows, because you know that movie where you have sex with somebody and then a couple days later a zombie's trying to kill you. Yeah, that's kind of my sex life at the moment.
Oh, that's good. Heather, do you want to do yours?
Yeah, I'm going to take you on a journey, though.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
It began with Freaky Friday, moved into Choke, stayed in Sin City for a good decade, then took a break with Sleepless in Seattle, came back to The Force Awakens, and now it's Any Which Way I Can.
I was going to say every 28 weeks or something like that. So, I live with a redhead. I'm married to a redhead for nearly 20 years. I have to be careful because she's going to listen. Okay. I have to be careful in general because I'm married to a redhead, but ultimately because she's also going to listen, you guys.
Okay.
Help. So there's a lot of answers that you could, like, jump on, like Little Red Devil, Red Riding Hood, something like that. I really like Deep Red. That was an interesting one. But when I saw this was a movie, I was like, this is what I have to go to. Burning of the Red Lotus Monastery.
This sounds bad. I don't know.
I think you're in trouble, Kai.
As your lawyer, Kai, I'm going to tell you to pick a different film.
No, I'm going to stick with the Lotus Monastery because there's so many red things, and it's a lotus, and I don't know. It's also, there's a church at the end that might save me with the monastery. And also, what type of genre of film do you think this is?
It sounds like a martial arts flick.
Yes, which is something you need to know when you're married to a redhead. So that brings us to the end of this segment. I love you, honey. I'm just kidding. She's seriously the prettiest woman I've ever known, and I'm very happily married. Let's go to
you're going to be Bill. You're going to be five-finger death punch for that one.
There was also Warm, Warm Under a Red Bridge. These are actual film titles. DJ.
Yes.
Question number seven. Question seven is typically that everyone does a bad celebrity impression. We want to hear yours. Quite honestly, we've gotten to hear yours, and I don't want to force you in that. Heather had a suggestion for a new question number seven, at least while we're in COVID, which is, what is the strangest thing? It's a little bit of a COVID confession.
Right.
What is the strangest thing you have done in quarantine?
Oh, man. I don't want to admit this, but I've done cinematic dog grooming. I have a golden doodle, which means he has a lot of hair. And right around May, my dog, when you don't cut his hair, he looks like Rod Stewart. Kids, Rod Stewart was this really teeny, tiny singer. So I don't like his hair like that. So
Do you tease it up like that? Do you Aquanet
the thing? It just naturally grows like Rod Stewart. I don't know why, and I hate it. So I cut his hair into a mohawk like Wes from Road Warrior. So, yeah, and he doesn't talk, my dog, but I'm certain by the look on his face after I cut his hair into a mohawk, he was just looking at me like, fuck you. I hope you trip and fall down some stairs. He was so angry with it. And it kind of just grew back now. So he's kind of like, every time I pull the clippers out, he kind of gives me this look like, bro, come on. Don't do this.
That's hilarious. I also like that you had to quantify to us that dogs don't talk.
No, but sometimes they do. You never know. My dog kind of talks. He's kind of, but that, you know, that's about as close as it gets. He gives me death stares more than anything.
All right, you guys, that brings us to the end of the Series 7. It's time to play the game. Let's go do that now.
The game. Don't blow it, the game.
All right, DJ, it's time to play the game. The game is simple. I have three films for you. For each film, I have seven clues that include the year and genre, actors in the film, director, tagline. If you were to get it on the first hint I give you, I would give you 7 points for that film. Second clue would be 6 points, so on down. 21 is a perfect score. Probably not going to happen. We say if you get about 10 to 12, you've done pretty good. Are you ready?
Okay. All right, I'm ready to fail. Let's go.
Let's do it. Your first film is a 2010 rom-com.
According
to IMDb.
Man. 2010 rom-com. I'm going to say, I don't even know what year this movie is, but it can't be this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I love it. About Time.
for 6 points. And Heather, would you just play to the audience what rom-com is short for?
Romantic comedy, the worst genre of all time.
I didn't ask for your thoughts on it. Just okay, for 6 points, everyone's favorite Venom, Topher Grace, is in this movie. Topher Grace.
Oh, isn't it? Oh, God. Is it the stupid fucking, what the hell's the name of that dumb movie? Tad Hamilton or some crap?
I don't think it's called Tad Hamilton or some crap, but that's also incorrect.
Win a date with Tad Hamilton or something like that? Is that what it is?
Yeah, but is that the one with him or the other guy? I don't know. Doesn't matter because it's wrong.
Oh, okay.
For 5 points, you get the best tagline for every rom-com to help you guess it. A love story, more or less.
A love story, more or
that's
less?
That's got to help, right?
That's
I hate rom-coms. I don't know. Oh, hold on, let me think.
While DJ thinks, Heather, since we had a fairly big name in the beginning, he's getting a fairly big name next, why don't you explain
Wait,
to him?
Is it I think I know what it is. Well, is it that
DJ,
stupid 80s?
Don't be Heather right now.
Okay, sorry.
This is my one part of the show that I do.
Yeah. Heather, explain to everyone the rule that you know about the show.
This is the one rule I know. If Kai gives you a rather big actor or famous actor first this far early into the questionnaire, they are in a supporting role, not the lead actor. I hope that helps you.
And this might be what type of film?
Oh, and it could be an ensemble cast.
There you go.
Oh, then I know what it is.
What is it?
It's Valentine's Day.
That is correct for 5 points.
Because my name just happens to be DJ St. Patrick's Day. No, Valentine's Day. I'm sorry.
If you were a DJ, would you be DJ Valentine or DJ Valentine?
I don't know. I think I'd be redundant, but I might do it. Like DC Comics is Detective Comics. I might be DJ Valentine. I like that.
I like that too. All right. Second film for 7 points is a 2010 drom-rom. Heather, what's a drom-rom?
It's a drama, romantic drama, which also a little ew.
Yeah.
2010 drom-rom? I've never heard that term.
A drama? A rom-drom?
A drom-rom? I've never heard of this.
Sorry, rom-drom.
Romantic drama.
It's not a com-rom, it's a rom-com, so therefore it's a rom-drom, and I spoke out of tune.
Okay, you're killing me now. drom-rom. 2010?
Yeah.
I might need another clue. I don't know.
We always say just throw something out there just in case you never know. Throw shit at a wall, see what sticks.
I can't remember the year of this, but I think I might be too late. Is it Dear John?
That's incorrect. That's a horrible guess. I don't know why you
think that. Okay.
First, it's a terrible movie.
Not that we judge, it's but I mean, that's pretty bad. All right, for 6 points.
I'm ashamed of myself.
This probably ain't going to help you. Mike Vogel's in this movie. He was one of the stars of Cloverfield.
Yeah. What is this?
I have limited options for this film. That is a hint.
Oh, wow. That's a kind of a big clue. Is it the Cloverfield movie? No, you just said that. Sorry. what else was he in?
I'm pretty sure he dies in the first one, so.
Oh, God. What the hell was Mike Vogel in?
It's in a good movie with Brittany Murphy, Across the Hall, I think. I really like that movie.
Across the Hall. I'm going to say Blue Valentine. That's what it is. It's fucking Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling. This Valentine shit's got to stop. It's Blue Valentine.
Oh,
son of a bitch.
He's getting it. He's figuring it out.
That's funny. It's Blue Valentine for 6 points. That's correct.
Son of a bitch.
Because you basically have five people in the fucking movie.
Yeah, it's Ryan Gosling.
I was lucky that Mike Vogel at least is someone I recognize. Also, the tagline, this would have been helpful. A love story. Have fun
love
with that.
Story?
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't you mention Venom even earlier? Because the love interest in Blue Valentine is also in the new Venom movie. Isn't that
really?
Michelle Williams? Yeah, she's the love interest in Venom, I believe. Isn't that Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine?
I think so.
Yes,
yeah.
It's her in Blue Valentine.
I'm trying to remember Venom, not Blue Valentine.
I don't want either fine. One. I'm going to erase those both from my history.
That exhausts all Valentine movies.
Thank God.
There are no more Valentine movies.
Uh-oh.
So
I don't like how this sounds.
Now, first
like
of all, you've scored 11. You're already doing fantastic. We said if you do 10 to 12, you've done well. Now you're going into greatness. you could get as high as an 18 on this if you wanted to. It's not going to happen, but
that's
good math. I like math.
For 7 points, this is a 2003 action adventure sci-fi thriller.
Oh my god, that's like five genres.
Kitchen sink action film, dude.
At least it wasn't a drama. Sci-fi
thriller. Action adventure sci-fi thriller.
This is this one's for you and Heather.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, Heather,
sci-fi thriller. I have a guess.
Thriller's so bullshit. It's like, it's not quite horror, so we'll call it thriller.
iRobot?
That's incorrect. I think it might be off by a year, too. I might be wrong on that, but anyway.
I can't remember when iRobot came. I think it was like early 2000s. So I was just throwing it out there.
All right, this is for your hint, DJ. For 6 points, DJ Qualls is in this movie. I ran out of Valentine's. I had to find some DJs.
DJ Qualls is in an action movie? Wait.
Was it an action adventure sci-fi?
Is it The Core?
Fuck yeah, it's The Core.
It's
for
The Core!
6 points. The Core's like one of my favorite movies when it's on cable.
Delroy
I watch
Lindo's
it.
In that movie. So
Delroy Lindo and Hillary Swank, her favorite and least favorite person.
You're forgetting about Stanley motherfucking Tucci, bro.
I'm looking at Heather right now. She wants Delroy Lindo to eat her cookies, and she wants Hillary Swank to die.
That's touching my sesame cake. Have you ever seen Congo, Heather? Because he's amazing for five seconds in Congo.
I've watched that movie three times a year.
She's seen it a couple times.
Stop watching Congo, Heather.
No, you can't
Heather,
make me.
Your work's calling. They're gonna fire you if you don't leave the house.
Fire
and
you
stop
for
watching Congo.
Nope, I need
you're
to
on a watch list.
Amy Good Gorilla at least once every 3 months.
Heather,
yes.
Rank these things: running video games, sex, or watching Congo.
Oh Jesus.
Well, I can have sex while I'm watching Congo. So that's number one. I can have sex while playing video games. So that's number two. I could get hurt having sex while running. So running is last.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Well, DJ, you scored a 17 and you're a badass.
Guess what my birthday is?
When?
September 17th. Motherfucker.
Few, few, few. My daughter's is the 27th.
Hey, see? Great minds.
And
great
you were
minds.
On our show the 24th, which is right in between that last time. This brings us to the show. As always, we have a wonderful time having DJ. I hope you will come back and do this with us again. Please tell everybody one more time where to find you online.
I'm on Twitter at trying to be DJV. You can find our show on the Simplistic Reviews podcast on YouTube, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, Dark Web, all that good stuff. And again, I'm not going anywhere. I live here. I live in this void. This
black
space. No,
we're leaving. We're leaving you here.
I'm like Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar. I'm your ghost, Murph. Get me out of this black hole, Murph.
Heather, what do you want to tell people? Tell them about your blog.
You can find me at headertime.com. And if you want to follow all of my running and talks about swamp butt and stuff like that, you can follow me on Instagram at headertime1981. You can also find me on Twitter, but I don't do shit there. But I'm Heather_Kenobi if you'd like to.
And as for me, please check out my artwork. Go to @TheAmazingKiderMan on Instagram. You can find me KiderMan on Twitter. Or go to KaiBParker.com, KaiBParker.com. There's a link to my store there and a link to my gallery so you can check out the fun stuff I draw. All my events have been postponed to 2021, and I'm very happy about that because it's dangerous out there. Wear your fucking mask. Stop being dildos. And, that's about it. I could do this all day, but there's beer to be drank, movies to be seen. I'm going to go do that. See you guys next time. Heather?
Kaibi Parker, we have to go. This is Backcountry.
Yeah!
I'm all alone in the dark.
Shh, Heather, no. Heather, let's just leave him. Let's go.
Please.
Shh.
Anyone?
We have other things to do. Just sleep in your computer.
I just want to talk to someone.
Beep, beep, boop.
DJ.
Yes? Yes?
I don't have time to talk to you. I have to go. Bye.
Go!
DJ.
Well, Tom Hanks and Castaway, but instead of an island, it's the internet.
DJ. Yes? Go to my old computer. There's a demon in it, and it will talk to you. Used to talk to Kai and me.
Oh, yeah. Used to haunt the show.
Heather, I'm black. I can't. I don't go toward the danger. Okay. I'm not dying first in this movie. I'm not doing
Fair
that.
Enough.
What are pants? What are these pants you speak of?
They've been banned from my household.
Mm. I'm wearing a Speedo right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Are you going swimming or?
No. This is just how I unwind. Yeah.
Speedo and unwind don't feel like they should go together.
Well,
I'm picturing it with the top half of a tux, though, so this is working.
You've clearly never been to Singapore, Kai, so I'm going to explain it to you. The stupid fucking, what the hell's the name of that dumb movie?
Okay, DJ, it's time for the... This is what I deal with, people.